Now the 3-1. And Tatis swings, hits it in the air, deep to left center field. Roden is back. This one, gonna go! Number two for Fernando on the day. A line drive, homer to left center field. Oh, Fernando! Stay hot. 8-1 here in the eighth.
And so wrapped up a perfect weekend for the San Diego Padres. Welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody, and a happy Monday to you. Happy indeed after the Padres sweep away the Minnesota Twins. Fernando Tatis Jr. looking like the MVP version of Fernando. He has already been honored today with Player of the Week honors in Major League Baseball. That had to be the easiest choice the committee has ever had to make, considering the way he continues to hit. And, don't forget the grand slam he saved last week. But big-time weekend for the Padres, and it only gets better today with the press conference introducing our new ownership. And Tony Gwynn Jr., it's an exciting day to be at Petco Park, which is where you are lucky enough to be.
Yes, indeed. That was an awesome press conference, first of all, by Kwanzaa and Jose. You got a feel for the type of people they are. And I think if you're a Padre fan, you were listening to that press conference, you can't help but be excited of the two new owners that the Padres had. They talked about a lot of different things, ranging from the community to the actual product on the field, as well as the product around the stadium. I mean, it kind of hit everything. And it was just, you know, for us, the fans kind of being in the dark for so long in terms of who or what were the type of people Kwanzaa and Jose were, they got a pretty good, at least, framework of it here today.
I think watching the Padres play this weekend would have put anybody in a good frame of mind, especially the people who are about to become the official new owners of that team.
They did say they're undefeated as owners because it signed it on Friday, so they're undefeated.
The team that we saw play this weekend, Tony Gwynn Jr., looked as good as it has all season. Three games is not a season make. And by the way, I want to remind, before we talk too much more, Sam Levitt is still out at the press conference and is efforting some interviews, so as soon as he gets those, we're going to send it back out. We'll give you a little more insight into the new ownership. So you fans, don't go anywhere. But until we get hear from Sam, you know, one of the things to me, Tony, three games, I'm not going to overblow, but they were as good as any three have been all season. They scored six runs in all three games. That's the first time all year they've done that. They had a four-run inning in every one of the three games, and none of those innings included a home run. So they were stringing it together. Everybody was contributing. Obviously, Fernando was kind of the superstar standing out and finishing up with the two home runs. Two more quality starts. I think that's seven in the last eight games. And look, they're 21-7, which is unbelievable when you consider they had a stretch of 21-35 before this.
Yeah, I mean, in a ways, it's amazing. In a way, it's not, because this is kind of, at the very least, what we expected the offense part to do when we started the season, right? We thought the offense is going to have to be the thing that is sustaining this team. It worked out how it worked out, right? The offense wasn't the thing. They still found a way to win games early. Then it got dark there for a little bit. But I think ultimately this is what we expected from the offense, and now it's humming. And, you know, because, I mean, largely it was done without any additions. I mean, all the additions were on the pitching side. And so you couple that with now, as you mentioned, seven of eight quality starts. This rotation is also humming, and that includes Walker Buehler, who had a doozy of a game last night. It's a lot of fun to watch that man pitch, and he seems like he's starting to get into a groove. This is the we've been talking about it all year, right? Kind of put it all together. This is what it looks like when they are putting it all together. Now, mind you, they just played the American League, and I'll keep saying this: American League doesn't seem very good. I mean, every American League team the Padres have played, that American League team has come into that series on a heater. First, it was the Astros; they got smacked down. Then it was the Guardians; they got smacked down. And then it was the Twins. The Twins had taken over the second wild card spot coming into this series. also in second place in the Central. They got SmackDown. They're now behind the Guardians. So Padres are taking care of business. This is the thing that we've highlighted quite a few times. Teams that are below 500, Padres don't mess around. They put belt to behind, and that's exactly what they did over the weekend against the Tribe.
And it's not what they've always done, right? We've had a bunch of years where the Rockies give us, you know, fits, and a lot of the, you know, teams out there that you're supposed to beat, you know, seem to cause all kinds of problems. You're right about the American League. You have to mention it. You know, yeah. The Twins, I mean, they went from being in the wild card to now like three games out just like that. You know, American League teams just are not good for whatever reason, but the Padres are taking advantage of it. They did take advantage of it. And, you know, the game on Saturday is the one that really allows you to sweep the series. Let's be honest. Yesterday's game was a Fernando game. Like, he's winning that game, right? He drives in four. He hits two home runs. Bueller's pitching a good game. He's keeping them at bay. Friday night, you know, I felt like Vasquez was on his game. And, you know, once again, you know, offensively, they got six, seven runs up there. They're doing all right. They close it out with Mordejón. They close it out with Miller, et cetera. The Saturday game, they were down 5-1, and they're starting to piecemeal the bullpen together at that point. Like, Kyle Hart, please get me a few outs. Casey Mize has left this game. We don't even know what the injury was at the time. Turns out it's an ankle. In comes Griffin Canning. I think a lot of people forgot he was even on the roster, honestly, and only being used in totally desperate situations. Well, guess what? Griffin Canning didn't look at it that way. He went out there and pitched shutout baseball for long enough so that the Padres could get themselves back in that game, Tony, and they win that game. That's how you sweep. And that, you know, that to me is everybody in on it. There were some big plays, big stars, but that Griffin Canning performance might have been the most important thing of the weekend.
I think those are the type of performances that you need in the second half of the season. He was the reason why the Padres got that sweep. You're 100% right. Three and a third, he gave up three hits, he gave up no runs. He threw up a zero at a time where it didn't seem like it really mattered.
Yeah.
Because the Padres had one hit and one run at the time. But then it did matter because a catcher's interference opens the floodgate. That's the other thing that the Padres have done a lot of. If you leave a door cracked, they're kicking that bad boy down. And they did that on Saturday. The catcher's interference led to a big-time double from Cronenworth. Then they created their own luck. You can call it that. It was probably a base-running mistake turned into gold as the Twins couldn't, you know, complete the play. And then from there, you know, Ty comes up. He gets the big knock. Padres just did everything that they possibly could to sweep that series. And the one game they did it, they still found a way to win that game, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So, look, 21-7. I don't know if people realize that's a 750 winning percentage, people.
By the way, in 24, they won, what, they went 42-14?
19, was it?
Something like that?
I thought it was 42-19. Because they were 50-50. Remember, they were 50-50,
yeah.
And then they went, look it up, Scrabe. I think they finished 92-14. What was it, 70 that year? 93-69?
Oh, the
year that they were 50-50. I think they went 43-19, if I'm not mistaken.
It was very good.
But even that's not a 750 winning percentage. 21-7 is ridiculous.
That run seemed like out of reach or like not possible.
Right.
They're almost on that pace right now to do that again.
Yeah, I mean it's and it came out. I'm sorry, it's still. I know what you're saying in the sense, Tony, that this is what we kind of thought this team could be, but the way they were going about things at the beginning of June, July, and piecing the pitching together, and they could never get a hit. They went 11-27 this weekend with runners in scoring position. That's a .408 batting average. Like, we haven't seen that in years. There was just no way this was going to happen from where they were, at least is what I feel. And they've made it happen.
I just contend this falls into the bucket of something we say, well, at least I say every year, it's a long season. Like, June is not September, you know, and a lot can happen between, as we're seeing, June and September. Think about this. The Detroit Tigers had an 11 game lead going into September.
Last year, they lost it. Yeah.
Last year. So that's just 11 games they needed to cover. They did that in a month. So, I mean, there is just – in this game, you get to June, no matter how it looks, unless it looks like the Rockies or, you know, some of those teams down there, then, you know, okay, I could see you kind of being like, all right, let's –
Well, you know, even the Royals have won 8 in a row, and they're trying to sneak into the American League.
Isn't that crazy?
Playoff picture. The American League's so bad, the Royals might be able to get back into it. A week ago, they were 50-74. And now they even might have a chance to get in the American League. But you're right about playing the American League, Tony. The Padres are 27-15 against the AL this year. You know, that means they're one game under against the National League. But it doesn't matter because overall you're 71-60 now, and you're back to 11 games over 500, which is where you were back in the middle of May when you started the season 29-18. Scrape, do you want to take a break here? We want to wait for Sam. What do you want to do?
I just want to make sure we're on. He's not in his seat right now, so we're going to keep going until 18. But I wanted to tell you their second half a couple years ago, they went 43-20, so you're very close.
Okay, but they lost the first game. So
yes.
They were 43-19 after they lost the first game,
yes.
Right? Because they fell to 50-50.
Yep.
And they went 43-19. Well, this 21-7 has been, you know, spectacular. They're top five in offense. They're number one in bullpen. And, you know, this comes from a place where they were last in every offensive category. And I don't think I owe Fernando Tatis Jr. an apology. I think he owes me one, honestly, Tony. I'm trying to turn this around. But I said, and I think I wasn't the only one, this is just so surprising that he could go this kind of time without a home run, with no power, with absolutely nothing. And everybody said, well, just, or you said anyway, be patient. Wait. It was just hard to believe that that could happen to a guy who is this good. And here we are now seeing how good he is. I mean, he's MVP quality right now. I mean, it's too late to pressure those other guys for the award, but he's playing at that level.
I'm going to ask it in the Big Five.
Well, he's not going to win the MVP
based on one month. I wanted to ask, like, if PCA ended up dipping out and show it, like, what would he have to do?
Fernando?
To win the MVP.
Yeah, I don't think he could do that. Yeah.
There's nothing he can do.
Yeah, well, maybe if he got a home run every at-bat the rest of the game.
Shohei is pitching and hitting. I just got to remind you. I know he's only done it for a half a season.
Yeah, Tony.
How long has Toddy been pitching?
Well, that's the thing is that
he
Shohei.
I'll answer it for you. PCA. How long has he been pitching? He hasn't. So, like, this is how they. This is the standard that the writers have set at this point.
But how does
if
it
you do both?
Sorry, I got
you. Do both? You win an MVP. If you do both at this level, it's unanimous.
But how can you take into account something that he did in the first half of the year, but he didn't do it all in the second half of the year?
Because no one did it in the first half. None of the other contestants did it in the first half
of the
season. Here's
none
the
of the other entrants.
I point out. I know Toddy's was rough. I would have felt differently if Toddy, and this is just as a former hitter, right? I would have felt differently if he wasn't like hitting the ball hard. Like we spent like a month and a half talking about. We spent another thing. Did you say that on the air? Because I felt like that didn't.
No, it was in your ear.
Oh, okay. so we giving it to Sam. Is that what you said?
Yes, we need to send it out to Sam. Mr. Eric Gruebner sat down with him.
You'll have to hold that thought, Tony.
Let's go ahead and send it to Mr. Sam Levitt. He's with Eric Gruebner.
I can hear them. I'm making sure. I'm not going to put this up until he knows he's on the radio.
Okay, so he's not.
He's putting on the headset right now.
So should I finish my thought? Or
no,
I
no,
just,
he's
like,
literally sitting down as we're...
Okay, you know what? I'm going to let you send it up then, buddy.
I'm going to send it. Adam did text me. He was ready to go. So, Sam, whenever you're ready, you can go, buddy. This is not how we plan things today. Sam, whenever you can hear me, let me know, and then you take it away.
Maybe I got you loud and clear if you guys are ready.
Yes.
You guys ready over there?
Go for it. Go for it.
All right, welcome back to Petco Park following this very, very exciting press conference, introductory press conference of Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano. I'm joined by Padres CEO Eric Rutner. And Eric, first off, congratulations to you and the organization on such a historic special day in this building. I'm ready to run through a brick wall for those two. I mean, they are just full of energy, so much excitement. It's so clear what this moment means to both Kwanza and Jose. You were asked towards the very end of the press conference what stands out about these two people, and you said, I can't think of a better fit for where we need to go as an organization. So I was hoping we could dive into that a little bit more. What is it about Kwanza and Jose in particular that makes you feel like they are such a good fit for this organization at this particular moment?
Yeah, so thank you, Sam. It's good to be with you, by the way. Appreciate you guys coming out today. I mean, they're just incredible people. As you mentioned, you got to see the passion on full display today, but there's so much substance that is foundational, how they got to be where they are at this point in their life and their career, to have amassed the resources necessary to purchase the San Diego Padres is a reflection of intelligence, a lot of years of hard work, sophistication, discipline. I think those are the hallmarks of really successful owners.
Yeah.
And so seeing the opportunity ahead of us, knowing that they're going to come in with patient capital, as they mentioned, but a burning passion and desire to win and to win a World Series championship and ultimately impact the community and serve our fans. I think they just get it. They understand what it is to own a community asset like the Padres. They understand what our fan base wants, which is what we all want, a World Series championship. And I think they have the intelligence, the sophistication, the discipline, and the resources necessary to take us there.
I'm so happy you brought up community, because when they were up there, they were asked about what they want their legacy to be, which is probably a really hard question when it's day three of owning the ball club. But Jose said, one of the first things he said was, we want to deepen our ties with the community from an organizational perspective. Why does that continue to be so important? Not just being a ball club, ultimately winning World Series, but being a true community partner with San Diego and beyond.
I think we're given a very unique and compelling platform as a professional sports franchise, and our players as well, to be able to have an outsized positive impact on our community. It was great today that there was the discussion of the fact that we are a cross-border region, where we're a bi-national region between Mexico and the United States. And there are so many possibilities and ways that we can impact the community positively on both sides of the border. And I think, we're at the end of the day a medium to large size private business. But if you look at the shadow that we cast across our community and the positive impact we can have, I think it's significantly greater than the stature or posture of our business. And so kids growing up idolize players like Fernando Tatis Jr. And I think when they see especially themselves in those players and see what's possible, especially native Spanish-speaking players, whether they're from Mexico or other Hispanic countries, I think it's all representative of something that is aspirational, and it's the American dream.
Right.
And I think Jose and Kwanza are an embodiment of the American dream. I think so many of our players are an embodiment of the American dream. And so when they go into a classroom or a hospital bedside, and they bring with a message of hope, and they also reflect a level of success for, portions of the greater binational region we're in that oftentimes have been under-resourced and not had as much access to opportunity. I think that's an incredibly powerful message, and one that I'm excited to see them extend throughout our region.
Really, really well said. We're joined by Padres CEO Eric Rutner here on 97.3 The Fan after this introductory press conference. The new Padres principal owners, Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano. Eric, you said something on TV the other night that really stood out to me. You said, we flipped the script of what's possible in this market. I was wondering if we could expand on that, how the last 5 to 10 years has really led us to this moment where the franchise is so valuable. And you look around Petco Park, you got 53 sellouts entering tonight. What's transpired here and how it ultimately leads to a moment like this?
Yeah, it really began over 6 years ago with a vision that Peter brought to the franchise around competing at the highest stage and winning a World Series championship. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we knew that we needed to bring in players that weren't yet on the team, and that was going to take resources and increasing payroll above levels that historically we had seen in this market. And that was the first step. But shortly thereafter, the fans responded. Mm-hmm. And we weren't quite sure at the outset of how far we could take that. And I think what our fans have answered resoundingly is that if we invest in this team and we put all the resources that we can towards winning a World Series championship, they will show up and support us to create one of the most electric environments in baseball. And we've seen that now for over 6 years. And so we're incredibly grateful to the support that we've received from the fans, and that's what's led us to today.
Right.
But, you know, given the premise, the goal to begin with, which is to win a World Series championship, we have unfinished business. We haven't gotten there yet. And so I think this next stage with Jose and Kwanza, who view this as a generational long-term investment, and you heard them say it today, it's going to start with one championship.
Right.
And they're not going to be satisfied when we get that. So I think for Padres fans, I would be encouraged by the fact that it's going to be more of the same, in the sense that we're going to be continuing to compete for a championship. That's what the last 6 years has shown us, is that we can compete at the biggest stage, although we have not broken through yet. And we're going to continue to go after that championship with all the resources we have.
Yeah, absolutely. We're joined by Padres CEO Eric Grubner. One final question for you, then we'll let you know. I know you got a lot of photos to take and things to do today. You alluded to it. Not only do Kwanza and Jose seem like great people, people that care about the community, obviously extremely successful people, but they seem competitive. I mean, it was very clear throughout the press conference they want to win. What encourages you about the idea of what they will do to continue the on-field product being the caliber that it's been the last 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think it begins with their background. Once again, you know, Kwanza is a Division I track athlete.
Yep.
Jose competing and succeeding at the highest levels of business with Clear Lake Capital, and his own love of sports and how he has seen sports serve as a unifying force for good, and the societal impact, and he spoke to that earlier. But I think they are two of the more competitive people I've had the opportunity to get to know. And but the great thing about them is they're competitive, but they're patient. And I think they can see those two attributes coexisting, where it's about the long-term approach that is going to lead to the greatest amount of success over the longest period of time in San Diego. And so that's where their sophistication and experience as investors and entrepreneurs and owners, I think, is really going to be brought to bear, that it's not about just a quick hit and trying to win in 1 year.
Right.
It's going to be about a long, sustained commitment to winning in this market and doing what it takes to win championships.
Well, Eric, congratulations again to you and the rest of the organization. What a great day here at Petco Park. It's a good time to be a Padres fan. You got a great press conference today. Team's winning. Mm-hmm. Fernando's as locked in as I've ever seen him. He's been unbelievable.
Hotter than a pistol. So appreciate it, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Eric, thanks so much.
All right,
appreciate
you.
It. That is Padres CEO Eric Grubner joining us here on 97.3 The Fan on this very exciting, busy day at Petco Park. A lot of good stuff when you think, guys, about what was said here today. I thought just a home run, no pun intended, of a press conference. Great energy, great words about community and winning and competitiveness, and I am certainly excited to see what the new era of Padres baseball brings, and not to mention a team playing really well right now. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Sam Levitt. He will be back, I believe, with the pregame show.
Yes, he will.
In a few hours?
Yes, he will.
He may do another interview or two. You never know what Sammy's going to do.
Oh, Sam's capable of everything.
He could track down the governor or somebody before too long. Who knows?
Why not, Sam? Go after Gavin Newsom.
Is he there? I don't know if he's there. Anyway, yeah, great day. I tell you, Kwanza, she is excited, and she's got everybody excited. Her enthusiasm is off the charts.
You could feel it through the. I was listening on headset. You could feel her energy through the headset.
I tell you one thing: somebody hits like a pennant-winning home run, You might need security to keep Kwanzaa from flying out on the field.
She might be the first one out there.
Well, she's a Division I track athlete. She may use some of her speed to get out there. But, yeah, she's so excited. And you can't help but be excited when you listen to that press conference, which we carried here on 97.3 The Fan. And a great interview. As always, Sam Levitt, he's able to bring those big-time CEOs to their knees, you know, with those great...
They're always so afraid of what Sam will be asking.
If I was asking
right
Eric...
down to their knees.
Yeah, if I asked Eric Grubner a question, he'd be, like, laughing at me. But, you know, Sam Levitt, he's got Eric's attention and respect.
I think it's because Sam wears a suit. Maybe if we wore suits, Chris...
So you think if I tried to interview Grubner with my flip-flops, that would be the worst...
I just think Sam... He's seen Sam a lot, and that's the only difference. He's familiar with Sam.
All right, we'll leave it at that. Padres win. And today, new ownership wins as well. Back to action tonight, though. You know, it's not a fly necessarily in the ointment because everything is all celebration today for sure. But even after that great weekend and all those wins, you know, there's still only two games ahead. You can't afford to take the pedal off the gas thing there. You got to keep rolling. So Diamondbacks are still there.
Pedal off the gas.
Yeah, it was terrible. I'm embarrassing. But, you know, I think you get the idea. But, yeah, Arizona's still there. That's what my point was. And we'll talk more about it here as Gwynn and Chris continues.
I believe this is going to be a very short segment. Since it's going to be so short, I'll just finish up my thoughts on Fernando Tatis Jr. after sending it to Sam. I would have felt differently, now that I remember what I was going to say. I would have felt differently had we not spent like the first month and a half talking about hard-hit baseballs. Like, he was just like, if he just looked terrible. Only thing that looked terrible was the zero in his home run thing. I mean, he didn't swing it good for like the first month and some change. But after that, he was getting hits. He just wasn't hitting homers. And so I think if you're a guy like Toddy and you're not getting hit and you're not hitting homers, but you're getting hits, I can justify the homer part. I know he's also exceptional enough to go on a run like he has and make it look, you know, not as bad as it could have gone. And I just felt like all year long, you know, after that first month and a half, he swung the bat pretty good. He just had to figure out how to get it in the air. And then once he started getting in the air, it was just like a matter of time before the homer started coming. And here he is closing in on 20 pretty quickly.
Yeah, 20 looks like it's going to be light work at this point, Tony. Look, his OPS went over the 800 mark yesterday for the first time this year. It's up to 814. That is from a season low of, let's say, 581, 579, which was in May. And the thing that I kept saying over and over again was, because I agree, Tony Scraby was talking to me before during the break, and he's saying, you never gave up on Fernando. You just couldn't believe that this was happening. And I guess it's really true. I mean, you go to believe this guy is an incredible player. And he's showing it again, but this is a guy, Tony, in his career, if you take everything into consideration, beginning of a season, you know, the 40 home run year, the off year, the this, that, the playoffs, everything he's ever done, he's averaged one home run every 20 times up. All right, so that's a pretty large sample size, 7-8 years worth of baseball. One home run every 20 times he comes to the plate. This year, he went 254 plate appearances without a home run. And that just boggles the mind that the game of baseball could do that to a player that talented, right? And now you see what he's doing. He's got 9 home runs in his last 71 plate appearances, which factors out to less than 8, 1 per 8. And so now he's this hot on the other side. It is crazy that the game is like this. And one thing I credit him is because I know he had to be so low down at the end of May when he had the zero there. People kept talking about it. He kept hitting fly balls to the warning track. And he was able to find his way out of it. And I give him a lot of credit for that, Tony, because it couldn't have been easy for him.
I think these things happen more often than we think they do. I think it's happening to our guy. And so it feels a lot worse. I would say his year is that month and a half he's having is pennies compared to what Kyle Riley is going through this year. Like, so we get one of these guys so often every year that just it's an anomaly. Like, yo, this dude was an MVP last year. Now he is struggling just to, you know, quite frankly, put the ball in play on most nights. And so baseball's hard, man. I can't express that enough. It is a very, very tough game, especially now. And these guys are under probably a bigger spotlight than anybody in our generation ever played under, given, you know, how we kind of report things these days. All right, let's get to break. When we return, we heard from the Padres owners. We heard from Kwanzaa and Jose. And we'll tell you exactly what they said if you didn't get a chance to hear it. More Gwynn and Chris on the other side.
I don't want to sound like the baseball executive here. You know, we'll work with AJ. We'll work with Eric. We have been blessed with a team in a city that is supporting us in a way that is allowing us to invest back in that team, in the stadium, and that city. And we're committed to doing that. Mm-hmm. And again, New York Bank, we are going to live, you know, within our means. And that could mean different things in different years. But again, we want to win. And we're going to continue supporting that goal in many different ways. And that means that at some moments, to use your phrase, we're going to be aggressive. Some people might look at that that way. But we're always going to do it, you know, kind of with keeping the long-term health of the team in mind. And I think those are things that we're going to balance, you know. But we're thinking about this in not only next week or next series. We're thinking about this, you know, in seasons, decades. And I think our commitment to this city and to this team is that we're going to continue to do that. And, again, hopefully win along the way.
Jose Feliciano, he and Kwanzaa Jones officially introduced today as the ownership of the San Diego Padres, a rip-roaring press conference that took place a couple of hours ago. You heard it here, all of it, on 97.3 The Fan, and that was a little piece of Mr. Feliciano talking about keeping it up, Tony Gwynn Jr., and look, they do have, you know, something to live up to. And frankly, as they come into the ownership of the Padres, and we welcome you back to the Gwynn and Chris show. Tony is down at Petco where the Padres play again tonight against the Pirates. But this is really the first time I'm thinking out loud here, Tony. And I'm thinking this might be the first time in the history of this franchise that a new ownership comes in and actually has something to live up to.
Yeah.
Think about it. The Seidlers
maybe
took over.
And they, right,
yeah, we win anything that's going to be good compared to what used to be before the Seidlers. And granted, they had a couple of winning moments along the way. You know, with John Moores, they had the one, and Ray Kroc, you know, way back after he passed. But those were never consistently good franchises like you have now.
It's a great point. It's a great point. This is the probably the biggest pair of shoes any owner has had to put on coming into owning this franchise, because there hadn't been a ton of success. As you said, this is the longest sustained amount of success this organization has had. And with that now comes fans' expectations. Fans, before now, you could have picked up the Padres and had just a blank canvas to create whatever you wanted. And for a long time, owners didn't have any type of imagination at all. And then all of a sudden, the Seidlers, Peter Seidler, takes over this organization. Along with Ron Fowler, I can't forget that, because he was part of the beginning of this. And they took that canvas and they started to allow A.J. Preller to paint. And now there comes this expectation for Kwanzaa and Jose, and it sounds like they are more than up for the task of continuing to have an imagination of where this organization can go.
Yeah, I think John Moores did a great job in his time, but I don't think that even John Moore, he did a lot of things in this community as well. You talk about your dad's stadium at, you know, at San Diego State. So many things John Moores had his hands involved in, an incredible part of this community. But I agree with you in the sense that the Seidlers and Ron Fowler, they started dreaming of things that we had never even dreamed of here. And that's why people who say, well, the dumbest thing we ever did was sign Eric Hosmer or trade for whatever that – was that a trade? I can't even put it out of my mind.
No, free agency.
Free agency. Dumbest thing we ever did. Well, you know what? It didn't really work out okay in a vacuum the way a lot of us hoped it would. But didn't that beget Manny Machado? And didn't that then beget the next one and the next one and the next one? And all of a sudden, and even though Xander Bogaerts has not played to the level you wish that contract, they started doing things that we had never even thought possible around here. And I think a lot of people, the fans, a lot of the fans even said, instead of sitting back and go, wow, we appreciate this, we're like, wait, do we know what we're doing here? But it has put the Padres in a position where they are more than relevant. And even the Juan Soto trade, and nobody knows, nobody's a bigger, you know,
hater,
right, of Juan Soto than I am. I'm a hater of the way he plays the game, Tony, but I am not a hater of what he did in terms of bringing relevance to this franchise. And that was part of being a big deal.
No doubt. So I don't disagree with you at all. I think that is, it's a good place for this franchise to be in. The fact that owners or new ownership is coming in and they have a bar to reach that is higher than it's ever been. That's a great thing for the city. You know, we now have, it's funny. It's not funny at the same time. We now have like high expectations, right? I mean, it sounds crazy, but we didn't know what to have at first, right? For a long time, it was just like, well, we'll see. Well, you know, I mean, I still distinctly remember us covering Manny Machado's possible signing and I not believing a word of it until the actual day it happened, because that is what we had become accustomed to. Every offseason, some new name would pop up and it'd be like, oh, the Padres. And it'd just be like, come on, man, that's not happening. And I thought the same thing. And so now, fast forward to now, you know, Jose and Kwanza now have to step into these shoes, and it's just listening to the both of them talk today. I, as I said earlier, you can't help but feel some excitement about what's ahead.
Yeah, and again, we kind of do think back and honor the Seidler ownership, but now on into this one, because you're right, Manny Machado signing here was something that could not happen, but now that that's happened, almost anybody potentially could sign here, and we wouldn't even be that shocked about it. That's
you
how
no
much it's
longer
changed.
Have doubts when you hear a rumor about the Padres signing somebody. That's you actually be like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
That would be good.
I heard Juan Soto is going to be a free agent.
He's coming back.
Years.
He's coming back.
10 years.
Wonderful. We'll take a break. We're coming back. I know that.